Welcome to Local SEO Today. On this podcast, John Fong interviews business professionals and entrepreneurs in many fields to uncover challenges and successes in business ownership. Our goal is to provide you with insights into the entrepreneurship journey and give you tips and advice from real experience. Brought to you by Local SEO Search, based in Toronto, Canada.
Joining us today is Dandy Randazzo. Dandy is a real estate investor, author, entrepreneur, mastermind host, and speaker. He started his first small business at just 5 years old, which bred his passion for financial freedom. At the age of 30, he retired from corporate America after working as a financial consultant and building a real estate portfolio that generates monthly income. Today, his company controls over $15 million in real estate assets. Thanks for being on our show today, Dandy.
Hey, John, thank you so much for having me on. Excited to be here. You know, one quick fun fact to add to that bio is actually today my company controls over $225 million. So we've been on the acquisitions path all of this year, really focused on that for 2019 goals and even more acquisitions as we get into 2020. But we basically focus on acquiring $30 million to $100 million multifamily communities across the United States, specifically in the Southeast U.S. So from North Carolina to Florida and over to Texas.
Oh, that's amazing. And I'm going to really ask you some really good questions because I'm very curious as to joint ventures. How did you grow it? But before we start with that, I wanted to kind of ask you, you know, I always start this off with, what do people know you by now, and how did you become who you are?
Well, I would break that down into kind of three circles of different people all within my network. So number one, my close family and friend circle. These are people who have known me for more than a decade. They know me as, you know, Dandy Randazzo, this hardworking young man who is very focused and determined. And then shifting to my community and network of investors, entrepreneurs, and real estate pros in Charleston and across the country, they know me as Dandy Randazzo, this hardworking, determined real estate investor who buys multifamily communities and brings passive investors in to invest alongside Dandy and the company passiveinvesting.com. And then my third kind of circle of people, I would say, are people who knew me from a previous life that you mentioned. I retired from corporate America at 30. So I still have that network of people who know me as Dandy Randazzo, a former Deloitte consultant who helped multi-billion dollar companies improve their financial performance and business operations. And so what I think is a constant evolution is what your brand is or how people know you, and kind of shaping who you are and making sure that you check in and refresh each of those different networks of people so they know who you are today. Because, you know, 5 years ago, I was this, you know, professional in corporate America doing financial consulting, and I did a little bit of real estate on the side. And now today, I want to be known as a full-time real estate investor, an entrepreneur, and, you know, someone who has integrity, does the right thing, and allows and gives people an opportunity to invest in real estate if they're unhappy with the stock market or 401k performance.
Well, that's amazing. I'm going to also start off with asking you, so did you go to school, like learning all the financial knowledge that you now hold? Or, you know, growing up, did you, what kind of schooling did you, were you brought up as? And were there people that kind of pushed you or inspired you to become who you are today?
Well, I was always pushed and inspired kind of by my own drive and determination. So as a young person growing up, Like you said in your intro, you know, I got started with the small businesses. So I was always the kid in the neighborhood who had a side hustle going on. I would do, you know, manual labor. I remember in the summer growing up on a lake in Michigan, I was always offering to move sand for people to refresh their beach at the springtime. And that was hard, hard work. I remember as like a 7 or 8 year old, I would shovel sand into the wheelbarrow, and then the wheelbarrow would be so full, it would take me a ton of effort to push it down to the beach. But that really got me started in knowing how hard it is to work for a dollar and earn a paycheck. And so I got very curious at a young age about how do I maximize the use of the money that I make. And so I was pretty good about making spending decisions where I wouldn't buy consumer items, and I would really save and pool up my money. And then eventually I would kind of invest it into, you know, buying new tools to do work faster or better. And so I built these small companies and businesses, and I eventually would take any sort of classes in finance that were offered in my high school. I went to college, got a degree in finance, but getting that theoretical degree and learning how the formulas work is one piece. And then as entrepreneurs, we all know that there's a lot of on-the-job training that's required when you start a business, and how to grow and take care and nurture that business that you have. But from a fundamental perspective, I knew how to manage my income and expenses, and I knew that there were ways you had to invest if you didn't want to exchange your time for money and have only active income. So Robert Kiyosaki was a big motivator in my life to understand that you have to put your money to work, and you can't exchange your time for money. Otherwise, you will work until you die. And so that was always a forefront in thinking, you know, Warren Buffett, the Charlie Munger approach, but then also some new age approach. You know, we were speaking about Grant Cardone earlier before we got onto the show. And I think Grant has a lot of really good tips for people, you know, as entrepreneurs and, you know, as your audience is these smart, hardworking, very driven people, you know, the idea of saving your way to wealth is not really an approach that's going to work, right? You can't save your way to have a net worth of $50 million. You really need to be focused on income generating activities. And so, you know, kind of like that Grant Cardone philosophy of like, go to Starbucks, spend $5, shoot, get 2 coffees, spend $10. But rather than trying to not go to Starbucks and save $10 in an hour, go to Starbucks, buy your coffees, and go figure out a way to make 50 or $100 in an hour. And that way you focus on those income generating activities as opposed to expense reduction.
Yeah. And I think leveraging, right? And from what I heard early, passive income is so important. And, you know, and I was a big fan of Robert Kiyosaki growing up as well. That was probably one of the most memorable books I read in university. And I still read it every couple of years. I would just pick it up and read it, right? So it just reminds you, like, trying to figure out the money game and understanding financing. And it's great that you went to school in it. A lot of people that are afraid or are uncertain, I mean, if you understand and control your destiny, and if that's a big driver in what you want to do with your time, and you can then exchange, like, what is that time worth to you? Like an opportunity cost, right? And figure out, can I earn more doing something that I love doing and doing stuff that you don't really like doing? Pay someone to do it, right? Because the more you understand that and figure it out, the less stress you're going to have, and you're going to be enjoying life way more, right?
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. I think it's a very simple plan. People don't need to be overwhelmed by money in those conversations, but if you know how much money you make in a given month, and you control your expenses so you don't spend more than you make, you can relieve that stress of having to think about paying the bills, right? If you don't have that stress throughout the day or the month, and you know you're going to make way more income than your expenses, it gives you this feeling of freedom to do anything that you put your mind to, or focus on an activity that you are so passionate about. And it gives you that fulfillment. So maybe when you do have to spend a couple hours doing things that you don't want to do, it makes it a little bit more appealing because you know, hey, I'm going to generate income in this time frame. I might not love this activity, but it's going to give me the power to not have to think about finances or expenses at all for the rest of the month. Then I think you're in a great position to have a fulfilled lifestyle where you love what you do on a daily basis, and you have the freedom in your mind to think about anything that you want because you're not held back by this kind of financial burden or financial ball and chain, if you will.
Yeah, definitely. So I wanted to ask you, when you started, I guess, your career, you started working in corporate America. Tell us a little bit about like what you were doing and how did you kind of transition from doing that to being an entrepreneur, real estate investor, and doing what you're doing now?
Yeah, so I got started as a financial consultant, and I would travel around the country and the world serving these massive corporations, you know, multi-billion-dollar companies to improve their business operations and financial performance. And very quickly on, I knew that I had a couple of opportunities. Number one being to develop my personal experiences. So I was able to travel around the country and the world and see and do things that would not have been an option, right? Traveling is fairly expensive when you're just getting started. And so I developed a ton of personal experiences. And I also had the opportunity to develop a ton of business experience. So what issues do massive corporations have trouble with? How can I learn every step of their pain points? How can I help them? But then I've got this knowledge to go out and do things for my own business, knowing what I've seen other companies struggle with or how they've implemented change to be a very positive and profitable one. So the personal experience, the business experiences were excellent. And then my third experience was really around the career path that I was chosen. And throughout my life, I always kind of pause at moments and take a future kind of vision snapshot. And as I was working in corporate America, I took this snapshot of what is my life going to be like in 10, 20, 30, 50 years. And I could pick out the person who I wanted to be at that company, right? Maybe a senior partner or maybe the CEO of the company. And I could look at them and I could say, wow, you know, their paycheck must be huge. However, they travel twice as much as I do, and I'm already gone 4 days a week. So what kind of work-life balance do they actually have if they're traveling 5 or 6 days a week? That means they're home for like a day and a half, maybe 2 days. And as I thought about having, you know, a wife and a family, that just didn't seem like a sustainable lifestyle. And so, you know, fast forward a couple of years, I met my now wife at the time, and we had these serious conversations about what do we want our lives to be like? Do we want to have a 2-hour commute in the car or an 8-hour plane ride to commute around the country and be gone for many days out of each week? And we said, no, that's not for us. And so we knew we needed to make a change from that. And that's what led me down this path to Robert Kiyosaki, to real estate, to investments that generate income on a monthly basis, as opposed to a stock market investment, which most stock investments generate $0. You have this maybe future projected return, right? But your return isn't cashed in until you sell that asset. And so real estate was the chosen path, and it has provided excellent returns for us in many different ways for our own life. And it has provided income streams to replace that corporate W-2 paycheck. And so, we've achieved financial freedom in the sense that our assets, like Robert Kiyosaki taught us, our assets generate our income to pay all of our expenses. And so there's not a need to have an active W-2 paycheck anymore.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, understanding how to have money work for yourself is the key, right? And there's a lot of different ways and channels to invest, right? And stocks might be a good avenue for a lot of people, right? And it's, you don't need to know as much, but when you want to be active and you want to understand it, there's different ways. You can go to a wealth manager, you can go private equity, there's different platforms out there, right? Especially if you want, all your hardworking money, all the savings that you have, hopefully you're saving something to put aside to either your personal home or somewhere that it's going to generate you more revenue, right? Or generate you some cash flow.
Yeah. And that's really, one of my passions. I've got, several side projects. You talked about being an author. So I write kids' books all about money and finance to help young people in the world just be smarter with their money and take ownership and responsibility for it. Because like you said, everyone is responsible for their own income and expenses and wealth and savings. And so, another passion of mine, I have a podcast of my own. It's called The Danny Randazzo Show. And I basically share a bunch of financial lessons that I've learned with everyone out there, because I think people need to know about all of these different investments so they can pick what's right for them. You mentioned a few, whether you want to invest in stocks and real estate or whatever it may be. I just think every single person out there needs to be able to know what investment opportunities exist, because some of these fund managers or your certified financial planner who lives around the corner may not know all of the different investment opportunities that exist and what's right for you. So people need to take control of that responsibility for themselves to figure out investments that can generate income for them.
No, I totally agree. And it's great to have knowledge, right? And the challenge is a lot of people aren't educated in the front of money, right? And they're feared, or they're scared of opening it up, letting people know like they're drowning in debt, or they're not even making enough payments to pay the rent. Like they're drawing from their line of credit or pulling money from their home equity line of credit. Like there's a lot of fear around money, right? And I think you are in a really good situation where you're able to invest, and not everyone is able to, but the sooner you're able to start understanding the power of controlling your own destiny and having money work for you, I mean, the sooner you'll realize you shouldn't be relying on the government to pay for a CPP or whatever it is. Here in Canada, it's called CPP, when you hit 65, right? Like,
yeah.
You should never rely on others to control your destiny. You should always be in control, right?
And absolutely. That's the name of the game, really. It's just taking responsibility. And for any listener out there who may be feeling uncomfortable about this conversation, hey, it's a good thing. I know there's fear around money. I know that's a taboo conversation in some households where you just don't talk about it. But if money makes you feel uncomfortable just to talk about, you need to recognize that. And if you don't take control of it it will make you uncomfortable for the rest of your life, and you're not going to break that cycle. And so, you know, if you're in a position where you spend more than you make in a month, you need to take a holistic view, look at your income, look at your expenses, and start to track that. Figure out a game plan to get yourself to neutral, where you make enough money to pay all of your expenses, and then figure out a way to make and generate more income so you can save money, and then you can eventually invest money and have your money working for you. But today is the day you make that decision. Make that distinct decision to take responsibility for it. Because if you don't, you're going to be uncomfortable about money forever.
And that's very true. And I think the education system in Western society doesn't teach you enough about money, right?
Absolutely.
You went to school in finances. I did the same thing. My university degree was in finance. It was all balance sheets. It was all about corporate balance sheet, but not about personal finances, right? What really matters is your personal life, not companies' lives, right? And that's the challenge our education system has, because what they want to do is make sure that you're going to contribute to a company to pay your taxes, right? Then that's ultimately the game of the government, which they control, you know, your education system. So the sooner you realize that if you want to control your own destiny, you got to break that habit or break that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's why, you know, us as entrepreneurs, we get excited to have these conversations. Like you said, there's a reason that people and governments want to have you employed working at a corporation so you can generate income tax and you can pay fees and you can put your money into a 401k that, guess what, someone else controls, and you don't really control what you get to invest in. Yeah. And it's all about controlling the money.
Yes.
And if you can figure out and take control of your money and your situation, you're going to be so much better off.
And I think doing real estate, there's stocks, there's different ways to invest. I always look at who are the wealthiest people in this world, right? And what's their portfolio like and where do they invest? And majority of them, probably 50%, a lot of it's controlled in assets, right? And usually it's tangible assets, and real estate is one of the most tangible assets. It could be, you know, typical home, it could be apartment buildings, could be commercial. There's a lot of different ways to invest in real estate. Or there's actual REITs, like there's, you know, index funds and trust funds that you can invest using your, you know, RSPs or whatever, different investment funds.
Yep.
to then invest into a real estate portfolio that way, right? Without doing any active real estate investing. It's
yep.
really passive, but it's a great way to diversify. Definitely.
Correct. Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, every individual is responsible for their own financial well-being and diversification. Some people may be completely comfortable investing 100% of their net worth into real estate. Other people may want to do 10% or 0% and put everything else into municipal bonds. But I think you need to strike that balance of what is right for you. What are your goals ultimately? Do you want to have assets that generate a lot of monthly income to pay your bills so you can quit your corporate job? That's one avenue to look at. Do you want to have assets that accumulate and hopefully can just appreciate in value, and you're going to hold them for 10 years? That is another type of investment. But each person needs to figure out what's right for them.
Yeah. And I think the good thing about real estate I've learned is there's three ways you're generating revenue, right? There's cash flow. Hopefully you're the tenant is paying more than the mortgage. Then there's also the appreciation potential, right? And then someone else is paying the mortgage, right? So there's the cash flow component. Someone's paying your mortgage now, and the appreciation. So typically, if you're active, you're probably generating between 30 to 35% return on your investment. if you're active on a residential. If you're going commercial, it all depends on the size and how much down payment and different ways to invest. But again, I wanted to talk to you because you do this for a lot of investors, right, that are accredited. And is it mainly a joint venture opportunity that you open up to investors, or?
Our model is a syndication approach. So what we'll do is we'll set up an LLC specific to the asset that we're going to buy. So it's a single purpose entity, and its sole purpose is to own one address or one asset. And then each investor becomes a limited partner or an LP, and they own a percentage of that owning LLC. So everyone is protected. You know, we have to follow in the US specific SEC guidelines and regulations, but it is open to folks in Canada or around the world to be able to invest in US real estate. Like I said, we predominantly focus our investments in the Southeast US because there's job growth and population growth at a very high level. I won't get into the specifics of our economic studies that we do, but from a very high level, we like it because people want to work in a climate where they can be outside year round. And the Southeast US is perfect for that. And it's affordable, and there are a ton of jobs and companies investing in the Southeast US. Because again, people are moving there and they want to have business there. So for those factors, our investors really like the demographics and the areas where we invest. And the syndication model is very understandable. As a limited partner or investor in a deal, I own a percentage of the LLC that owns the asset. And, you know, of course, we have all of our attorneys who work to put together the private placement memorandum, which outlines everything that can go completely wrong, all of the legal jargon in terms of like an operating agreement and the use of funds, how we are going to execute the business plan. Everything is outlined in that beautiful, usually more than 100-page private placement memorandum. But that's how we've set up our business. And again, people really like the opportunity to own real estate, and specifically multifamily real estate, because if you think about it, there's so much scale to it. When you buy a 200 unit apartment community, you're not worried if 10 people move out, right? You're not going to see a drop in occupancy. And at the same time, if you own a 200 unit community where 3 to 500,000 people live close by and work close by, you're going to stay pretty well occupied in that asset. And, you know, one other kind of niche that we focus on is we always do value add. So what that means is we'll buy a property that was built maybe in the year 2000, and it has old countertops, old appliances, and old floors. Well, if we go in and we invest several thousand dollars per unit to put in new floors, new appliances, and new granite countertops, well, we can push the rents, and we're going to have an increased demand because the people looking to rent an apartment in our area want those amenities in their apartment, then we're going to have an increased demand as well. And so it's a win-win-win situation when you look at, you know, monthly cash flow, principal pay down, forced value add appreciation, and then of course, tax advantages. For those of you who are US-based people, there are great tax advantages to investing in real estate. And for those of you in Canada, I can't speak to the advantages that you may have from a tax perspective, but there's a lot of wins across the board. So that's why we love multifamily apartment investing.
And do you have exit strategies, or is it more buy and hold and the investors are locked in for X amount of period, or how does it work with your
team? So our typical business plan is about a 5-year hold. And what that does is we close on a property on day one, and usually over the first 12 to 24 months, we'll complete all of that value add work. So if we need to repaint the exterior, improve all the units, we'll do that in that first 2 year period. And then in year three, we kind of look to just stabilize the asset, maybe optimize some business expenses. And then in year four, we have this stabilized asset, and then we'll look to either sell it or potentially refinance the property and hold it. But we typically model to have a 5 year hold. And at the end of that 5 year period, we're going to sell the asset, return investor principal, and then also provide whatever upside return has been generated and created for that property, everything of which is outlined in the private placement memorandum. I can't get into those details, but if there is a listener who is interested in investing passively in multifamily apartments in the Southeast US, just go to our website and join our club. Just go to passiveinvesting.com, join our club, and one of our team members will be in touch with you to talk about your goals and just see if it's a good fit for us to work together. And if it is, we'll add you to our list. So when a future deal is available, you'll be able to see it. And again, make your own decision on if it's the right investment for you and your family.
Exactly. I think you have to be ready to and be prepared, right? Like, real estate investing should not just be like going into a bank and putting some money into your RSP and stocks, right? Like, it's more of a long-term buy and hold. So you have to be prepared and ready for anything that may happen, right? So I always tell people, like, any form of investing, stay knowledgeable, educate yourself, know the risks, know the ups and downs, and figure out if it's a good fit for yourself, right? And your family, because every investment, there's a risk, no matter what, right? But you have to be aware and be okay with whatever outcome happens, right?
Certainly.
So I wanted to ask you a couple things regarding, did you ever have a coach to kind of, or a mentor to guide you through these years of starting your own company and doing what you're doing now?
Absolutely. I think a coach is so important. I've had a business coach and a kind of personal coach that gets me through any sort of business, personal growth, goal setting activity stuff. And so, you know, when I was first getting started, I definitely had the mindset. And what clicked for me is I play golf. And so when I look at Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson, they're the best golfers in the world, some of the best. And they have probably 6 or 7 coaches that they work with. And so I thought to myself, I said, well, if I want to be a professional in this industry, within this investing space, I need to surround myself with the best coaches to accelerate and elevate my knowledge, my experience, everything about it. And so I worked with a specific multifamily investor who, number one, buys hundreds of millions of dollars in real estate on an annual basis. So he is an investor first and he's a coach second, which was important to me because I want to work with someone who puts their money where their mouth is. Yeah. And, you know, not only are they doing and executing at a high level that I want to be at, but they're willing to coach me and bring me along. So absolutely, I highly recommend a business coach. I definitely used one and still work with both of these coaches to this day and will continue to do so in perpetuity because you can get so much further faster with a coach and learning those lessons and making connections, and it's just so beneficial. And then from a personal development, business development, kind of goal setting side of things, I think that's also an important balance of someone who has been in your position, who's gone through the ups and downs of entrepreneurship, who's balanced the business life with the family life, with the health life. And again, you know, I want to work with someone who puts their money where their mouth is, and they have done X, Y, and Z and continue to do these activities. And so that's just important to me. And so, you know, I think about it, you know, Tiger Woods, he's got a putting coach, he's got a swing coach, he's got a fitness coach, he's got a nutrition coach. And so, you know, I would challenge any listener, if you think you're a good golfer, why don't you have a coach?
Yeah.
And you won't ever beat Tiger Woods. So
I totally agree. I mean, if you think about any professional athlete, like growing up, they started with coaches that were committed for their advancements, right? And your parents probably, you know, push you along as well. Like, it's encouraging, and they have tons of experience, and they're going to fast track you, right? The key about coaches and mentors or people that you surround yourself with is so critical to your success. So you can elevate your game and really push yourself to further limits, right? But I think you mentioned a really good point where you want to get fine coaches that kind of you look up to, that kind of done what you want to do, right? Someone's in it. So they have skin in the game, or they've gone through what you are planning on doing, but they also know that you're not a competitor, but they will want to help you and guide you and, you know, really see you improve, right? And grow.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so important. And, you know, the other distinction that I've seen people make, and just if you think about it on a really small scale, let's say there's a free webinar out there about how to optimize SEO for your business. If it's free, I'm going to argue that 99.9% of the people, of the listeners, may get something out of it, right? There's value there. However, if they paid $49 for the webinar, I will guarantee they get 5 or 10 times more out of it than they would have if it was free. I think it's just that mindset piece too of making that investment. If I'm putting my money to work, I need to get my value out of it. So I'm going to pay diligent attention in that webinar to make sure my $49 investment to pay for that webinar pays off. You know what I mean? It's just that little shift in thinking of, you know, adding that extra attention, the need for return, and it gets you bought in.
It's pay to play, right? And if you are invested monetarily, then it's like you have skin in the game and you will want to pay attention. You will want to learn. You will focus, right? It's like when you go, if you were younger and you went to, say, basketball camp or ice skating camp or golf camp, when you're paying for that camp and your parents drove you there and paid for it, guess what? You're going to be learning whatever they teach you, right? Because someone's paying for it. So it's a very similar mindset, right? And for business, I mean, a lot of people don't have coaches or mentors or people they look up to. And I think, you know, that's the biggest struggle for a lot of business owners, because they don't understand how hard it is to be a business owner or entrepreneur. Like, there's a lot of variables, and you're not going to be an expert at every single factor of running a business, from operations, HR, to accounting, finance, sales, marketing, you know, it's just everything, running your services and clients. There's so many segments, and you can't be great at everything, right?
Right.
And the sooner you realize that, and with someone else giving you their expert advice on someone that's actually done it, with many, many years of experience, they'll guide you on what you need to do, right?
Yeah. And I mean, for, again, 99% of entrepreneurs and business owners out there, someone has done it before you, right? I know everyone has difficult and challenging situations. However, someone has been in that position before. Someone has overcome that challenge. And so why not learn from it faster, avoid some of those pitfalls, avoid some of those slowdowns? It just makes so much sense to me. And so I've made that investment and will continue to make that investment because I want to play at that highest level that I can for my person, for my business, and for all of the people that I serve.
Definitely. So I wanted to ask you another question. I know over the years, running a business, being an entrepreneur, it's never this, it looks great and it's going to be very rosy and it's going to be like a catwalk, right? Like it's a cakewalk and it's going to get you, you know, a ton of money and a lot of success. What kind of mistakes or challenges did you have to overcome to become who you are? Because every business owner, entrepreneur goes through that, challenges, right? Can you share with some of the audience members some of your failures, mistakes, and how you overcame them?
Yeah, I call it and refer to it as exercising the stress muscle. And so, again, if you think about it, if you go into a gym today and you do pull-ups, right, you're going to hit a certain maximum. And if you haven't done any training, you're only going to be able to do a few. But if you've worked out for many years and you're diligent at it, you're going to be able to do a lot more pull-ups if you hadn't gone through those training hours. And so for me, exercising that stress muscle, it's an evolution that never stops for business owners. And so maybe when you're getting started, you're going to have a $1,000 problem, right? An order didn't get placed, you may lose $1,000. Well, the following week or month, maybe you've got a $10,000 problem, right? And so the evolution, it always continues to grow. As you grow your business, your problems grow as well. And so I think about that a lot as we have stressful situations. You know, with a lot of the deals that we buy, we'll put up hard money to purchase the asset. And it's my personal funds and my business partners' personal funds that we put out on the line to close these deals. And if something goes wrong, we could lose $500,000. We could lose $1 million. But, you know, we have gone through some of those struggles. We know some of those pitfalls. And so we can look out for those and make a comfortable decision with that. And so there's always going to be stress. You're always going to be working out that stress muscle. But after you get through a couple of stressful situations, I think you need to kind of reflect inside and say, okay, we've got this. Here's how we're going to handle it. Here's the people. By the way, I've got two coaches who have way more experience than I do. So let me just pick up the phone and call them and see how they resolve this situation, because I know I'm not the only person who had a difficulty with an environmental survey for a multifamily acquisition, right?
No, it totally makes sense. I mean, it's always good to let people in on what's going on. A lot of people are kind of fearful to let people know about their problems and issues, right? I think the big key is being vulnerable and accepting it and letting people understand, like, it's okay. People who are super ultra successful are the most giving, kind-hearted, willing to help kind of people and individuals, right? Because the more successful you are, it's like they want to impact world, want to help others become successful as well. Most, I would say 90%+ of the ultra rich or ultra wealthy people are the best people in the world. It's just you have to go out and reach out to them. You have to make an effort to get to know them. And if you're able to do that, then you have a good sense in terms of like, just you're going to be okay, right? But if you're scared and you're, you know, scared of making mistakes and, you know, every time there's a issue or problem, you like stress over it and you don't sleep and all that, like it boils down to you, it's going to be very hard for you to become successful, right? And overcome that hump.
Yeah. And most of the time, if you're in a stressful situation or you're stressing over a problem, in your mind makes the problem 10 times worse than it actually is. And so if you just talk to someone else, pull an expert in, you're going to resolve that problem much faster, or at least have a game plan to resolve it, versus, you know, if you think back to being a kid, right, and you did something wrong and you hid it from your parents, all of a sudden, like, the first day you hide something, you think you might be grounded for whatever. You go to timeout for an hour, but by the third day, if you still haven't told them that you broke the flower vase, you might never leave the house again, right? It's this crazy, like, hockey stick thing of, you know, what can go wrong, all of these worst things, and it continues to grow as you just let it manifest inside of you. So the faster you can raise your hand and say, I've got an issue, can you help me? Here's what I'm thinking. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Do you give me another direction to go in?
Yeah. And I think you nailed it, where you're putting more pressure on yourself by trying to figure it out, but you're not the one, you're in it, right? And you don't really see it from someone else's point of view. And that's why it's great to have other people take a look at this situation from not knowing what is going on, right? And that's why, you know, coaches or advisory boards or whatever it may be, people that you can trust and turn to at these difficult times, they can assist you in so much more, right? Another thing I was going to ask is, how did you, like, I know you've been ultra successful and you've been doing what you're doing, but how did you do that by just practicing? Like, can you give some advice to some of the entrepreneurs that, in terms of, like, what kind of motivated you, what kind of pushed you to becoming who you are, right? Like, I know there's a lot of mistakes that everyone makes, but how did you overcome those and push you along?
You have to set your goals. And so when I was first getting started with, you know, wanting to develop a plan to quit my corporate job and just become a real estate investor and entrepreneur, I sat down with my wife and we said, okay, you know, we have this W-2 income and we have this investment income, right? And we all start at zero. So now I've got a job, so I've got some income. However, I've got no investments working for me. So how do I start to build that? And so we set a goal to have our first investment generate $5,000 in cash flow per month. And so we then worked backwards from our goal. So we said, here's our goal. This is going to help us get started. And your goal could be $1,000. It could be 10,000. It could be 20,000. But what is a number that you can work towards to get you going on that path? And so we got our goal and then we worked backwards and we said, well, what investment could we make? What and how many stocks do you need to buy to get $5,000 in monthly cash flow? You need to buy a ton. And so that was off the table, right? From a real estate perspective, what could we buy? What business could we buy? And so we said real estate's the way to go. It's very, I can connect the dot from property to cash flow. And so then we looked within real estate and we said, okay, what properties generate monthly cash flow? Well, rental properties do. And so having this goal, which was $5,000 a month. However, the bigger goal to that, that woke me up in the morning, that kept me studying late at night after I worked for 12 hours at my corporate job. And then I went back to my hotel room and I read books or I listened to podcasts or I studied, you know, webinars and things like that. The goal was I had to quit my job for my family to be happy. And that kept me going because I knew if I stayed in corporate America, I would be so upset with myself. My family would be so disappointed in me. But really that goal was just in my head. So I knew for myself, I had to push, persevere, and be relentless in my determination to succeed and achieve that goal. That I worked hard at it. There's no easy button to build up assets. I wish there was. There's not. Just hard work. You need to love it. You need to be relentless at it. I would backtrack and say you don't need to love it. You just need to be relentless at it and have that goal that pushes and pulls you towards what you ultimately want to do. And so for some listeners out there, their goal could be, well, I want my assets to generate income to pay my expenses so I never have to think about money again. And I can go and volunteer at the hospital every single day to help kids and middle-aged people and elderly people in need. And I just want to volunteer every single day, but I know I can live and take care of myself.
That's it. Amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's the biggest, you know, question you have to figure out, like, what's your reason and purpose and passion and why are you doing what you're doing, right? And figure out why, what's the love in it, right? Like, you got to figure out why you're, you know.
The goal and the passion needs to drive the activity. You don't just do something to make money, right? You have a goal and a passion and a desire, and money is a byproduct of that activity.
And once you have that covered, like the needs basis, then you can focus on what your other desires and full reason of why you're on earth is, right? So giving back, impacting the world. So tell me, what is it that you're focused on now? Because it seems like you're really doing that business, but are you also helping and impacting others?
Yeah, I mean, that is the name of my desire, is to help other people be better with their money, or at least break down that you know, taboo-ness of money conversations. It should not be something that's never discussed, or this, you know, hidden spreadsheet that no one else sees, right? People need to be smart with their money, and I want to make sure that they know all of the different investment opportunities that are in existence today so they can pick what is the best thing for them.
That's great. I mean, it sounds like, you know, at least you're having fun, right? And it seems like you chose an avenue that is working very well for yourself. And I truly believe in real estate as well. And it's been working really well the last couple of years, right? Again, we don't know what's going to happen. But again, at least you have a tangible asset and there's cash flow, right?
Yep.
And it's passive. So there's a lot of check marks already there. We just don't know what's going to happen in the next 3 years, 5 years, even next year. We don't know, right? But at least you're knowledgeable enough to figure out if it's a right fit for you and your investment, right?
Exactly.
So aside from business, sounds like you are doing everything that you love. Like you're following what your family wants you to do, and you're spending more time with your family, I believe, because you're not running and chasing the corporate, you know, 9-to-5 job or whatever, 9-to-9, whatever it is. And it sounds like you have your podcast, so you're having a lot of fun doing that. You're writing books, and it sounds like, you know, what else is missing in there?
I walk every day with my wife and our dog, George.
Okay.
Which is very important to us.
Yes.
Again, it's such a simple thing, but it is one of the biggest goals that I have, is to walk every day with her and George. And we absolutely love doing that.
We enjoy
traveling. I like to play golf, eating healthy meals, cooking different things, and, you know, being physically fit is something so we can be healthy and have our mobility for many, many years to come.
That's amazing. And it sounds like, you know, being simple, get back to the simple world, because of all the technology and what is out there right now, people are always looking for quickest, fastest hacks out there, quick, you know, get rich quick schemes. And people fall for that stuff because they want easy weight loss gains, you know, stuff that are not realistic, right? And, you know, we've gone through it. We understand that there's nothing that beats hard work, time, yep. right? And things take way longer than you anticipate, always, right? You always think it's going to be a year or 2 years. It's going to take double, right? Whatever it is. It's just whatever it is, make sure that you're okay with it and simplify your life. The more simple you are, the more relaxed you're going to live, less stress, and you're going to enjoy the moment and be present. I think that's the key, right? And it sounds like you go doing that walk, it's like you're really present there. I have my 4-year-old son and I stop my work at 5 o'clock and I go pick him up at school and I spend father and son time with him, right? And that's my time with him. And it's so much fun because it's like, I don't look at my phone and I don't even look at it until the next morning, right? And I'm like, I'm cool with that because people can wait. Things can wait. This is what matters the most, right? And you have to set precedent, especially if you want to be happy, right?
Absolutely. Very well said. I think there's, you know, money can't replace those moments of enjoyment and fulfillment, right? It gives you, if you have it set up correctly, it gives you the opportunity to go pick your son up at 5 every day. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're going to go get him at 5. End of discussion. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
It's in my calendar, and that's the most important thing. And nothing's going to replace it. No meeting, no nothing, right? Because that is the most important thing in my life, right? So, yeah, I totally agree. And people are just chasing all the time, right? Like in corporate America or in, you know, chasing money, chasing the wrong things. I mean, that's the problem I find a lot. Like, you know, I don't know if you're on social media, but this is the big thing about social media. It's very intrusive. There's always people that, you know, are always chasing likes, chasing shares, chasing comments, whatever. It's always chasing, right? Really, what do you get? Very fast gratification, like, you know, instant gratification.
Yeah.
And then what?
You figure out what's important to you.
Right? And then what? I mean, you know, you buy a nice car and then what? You know,
right.
The gratification, right? People buy all this, but they're sold on it because they see a lot of these ultra rich people that they admire doing it, like these influencers, and they think that's what makes them happy, but they're monetizing it.
Yeah.
What's the true reason they're doing it?
Right? Well, and I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. Figure out what your goals are. You can have business goals. You can have personal goals. You can have family goals. There's a ton of different things. But, you know, one goal that I would say, John, for you is you want to pick your son up every day from school at 5 o'clock. That's a goal. And it's always going to be a goal of yours, right?
That's right.
So make these goals. I have a goal and it's on my whiteboard of goals. I see it every single day. Walk with Caitlin and George daily.
Exactly.
I'm going to do that every day.
Yeah.
Like clockwork.
Yeah. And you're clear on it and you know nothing's going to break it, right? Because that's, you know, what you're going to do. Like it's just ingrained in you. Right?
Yeah. So for the listeners, figure out your goals. Figure out what you want to do from a personal, a relationship, a health and wellness, a business perspective, an income perspective. And, you know, I think that's going to pull people away from this social media distraction.
Yeah. I don't use social media myself. I just don't find any value. I don't watch a lot of TV either because I think it's a waste of time. I try to educate myself on things that actually will move the needle and make me more of a better person. Right. So again, it's what you fancy and it's your time, right? And on this earth. So you want to make the most of it. You either, you know, optimize your life or you, you know, figure out ways to, you know,
yeah.
whatever.
Time is incredibly precious. I read a stat the other day that the average American watches 5 hours of TV per day.
A day. Oh my gosh.
Five hours a day. If you live to be 100, right? I'm just doing easy math here, but 22 years of your life
is watching TV.
Would be in front of the TV.
Wow.
That is incredibly sad that about a quarter of your life is wasted on that machine.
And you don't know what's happening on the phone too, right? Like, this is TV. What about like smartphones, email, social media, all these? Again, we don't know what's going to happen in terms of technology, but people, I drive down to meetings and I see a lot of people and I'm driving and people aren't even looking up at the road. Like, they're on their phone just looking and staring. I'm like, wow, people aren't even living present at out in the public, right? They're so ingrained in whatever it is, like chasing, whatever. I don't know.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Incredible.
But, well, thanks a lot, Danny. That was a lot of fun. I know the last thing I wanted to ask you was how can some people get a hold of you, reach you, contact you?
Yeah. If anybody wants to know what I've got going on from a personal perspective, my books, my podcast, just go to DannyRandazzo.com. And then, as I said, if anyone is interested in learning more about multifamily, let's set up a time for a call. Just go to PassiveInvesting.com and join our club. And someone from our team will be in touch with you. But John, I really enjoyed our conversation today. I hope you can safely get to pick up your son at 5 this evening.
Definitely. I mean, I still have 50 minutes, so for sure I will be. But I really want to thank you for taking time of your busy schedule to be on the show. Hopefully you had fun, and we'll definitely stay in touch. And if you're ever in Toronto, give me a show.
That sounds great, John. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Danny.
Thank you for listening to our latest podcast. Please subscribe to Local SEO Today and tune in to our next episode.